Hi, thanks for all coming out. This sounds okay, right? Yeah, just let me know if it gets weird. I tend to like bob and weave when I'm up here, so. I wanted to. I'm going to do a bunch of different things, and perhaps in the spirit of the New York School, this will be a little bit fragmented and. We'll kind of swerve around a bit before we actually kind of get to the point, which for me is actually reading some of the poems by the primary figures in the New York School, that core group of Frank O'Hara, John Ashbery, Kenneth Koch, and James Schuyler. I was just thinking this quote that Sibel had mentioned in this piece by Tony. You know, my take on the New York School was essentially that in the context of 1950s American culture and social life, that the kind of playfulness and improvisational quality, the sort of sense of immediacy in their poems, the sense of dailiness, and the sense of humor, the sort of comedy of the poems, represented a kind of risk-taking that hadn't really been seen on that scale in American poetry previously. And much of the legacy of the New York School over the last 50 years has been tremendously important to American poetry. One of the things that Tony says in his piece is that if you had asked many of the peers of those poets, people such as Robert Lowell and Elizabeth Bishop and Jarrell and Berryman, how they felt about the New York School, they wouldn't have said that they took it very seriously. And yet, in some ways, the New York School poets have become the sort of dominant poets of that time. You know, and in retrospect, they now seem like, in some ways, to have eclipsed some of those people who, you know, at that moment were the giants of American poetry. I came to the New York School rather late. You know, they were not the poets who I was taught while I was in the MFA program to any big degree. I mean, there were a few. I sort of had made contact with Schuyler's work early on while I was here. But I think also by inclination, it wasn't the kind of work that I, you know, gravitated towards. Tony and a number of other people in the program were really influenced by that work, and I sort of resisted it in odd ways. I think partly because the playfulness and the humor just didn't seem right for me as a poet, and I couldn't figure out what to do with it. I liked it, you know, but I just couldn't figure out how to take it into my own work. And then somehow, in I think the early 1990s, I really connected with the work of this Slovene, great Slovene poet, Tomáš Salomon. And Salomon, who's somewhat older than I am, he's probably close to 70 now, had been very influenced by the New York School, oddly, among all, a set of influences, O'Hara in particular, you know. And I think that was a little doorway for me to go through, and a sort of side entrance, actually, a sort of indirect way. It was sort of like a European highway of sorts, you know, back to America. And since then, I've read them and taught them, you know, rather consistently, and they've changed my work in really significant ways, and made a lot of things available, a lot of values, poetic values available to me that I think were not previously available. So I'm going to start with a couple of preludes, actually, to this conversation. By the way, you know, if you guys want to interrupt, this is not like a formal lecture, and if you have a question while I'm talking, feel free to raise your hand, because there will be a question and answer period like immediately following, but I'm perfectly happy if somebody has some urgent thing that they want to, or something they want clarified, to kind of entertain that. So I'm going to do these, I'm going to play a recording a poem by Robert Creeley, who was not a New York School poet, who was a member of what is commonly referred to as the Black Mountain School. There were all these like schools in proliferating at that time in American poetry. But the Black Mountain poets were what I like to think of as allies, you know, of the New York School and of the Beats. And so that's a sort of continuum. Those three groups form a sort of continuum, I think, in American poetry, and a kind of bohemian alternative in today's, you know, terminology, a kind of indie, attitude towards the mainstream. But this poem by Creeley is called Heroes, and it is a kind of ars poetica. It's a poem about the art. And one of the things that it raises is I think a very traditional idea, and an idea that's expressed in lots of different ways by different poets, which is that the heroic in poetry is called forth by the fact of death. Okay, the death is the summoner, and that we respond, you know, in some way. The risks that we take in poetry are a response to our mortality. Garcia Lorca's, you know, idea of the duende, for instance, is another way of thinking about this. Frost says that your job as a poet is to put yourself in danger so that you can be saved, you know, sort of another version of it. So this is a very old idea, but and Creeley reframes it a bit. This poem is called Heroes, and it's on the handout. There is a slight quote from the Latin of Virgil's Aeneid, okay, in it. The line is hoc opus hic labor est. And that is a phrase that is taken from the Aeneid at a point where Aeneas has to go down to hell to find his father Anchises, okay? And he is talking, as Creeley says, to the Cumaean Sibyl, and getting advice about this. And what the Sibyl tells him is, the full quote is this: "The way down to hell is easy. The doors of death stand open night and day. But to retrace one's steps, to find one's way back to where they breathe air, that is the problem. That is the hard task." So that phrase in the Creeley poem is translated as, "That is the problem, that is the hard task." And so this calling back, you know, from death, to put yourself in danger, as Frost says in a poem, but then to be called back, you know, into the living, and to save something, you know, out of that. If not yourself, then a sort of sense of the motion of one's soul, I think, in time. And I was very interested in this very long-standing and traditional idea in poetry in relationship to the New York School poets, because the New York School poets do not seem initially to be doing that at all. Okay. And this idea of Creeley's and of all these other people is a deeply spiritual idea. It implies a really deeply spiritual project. And the New York School poets, initially to me, and I think to lots of other people, do not seem like that kind of poet. They do not seem spiritual. They do not seem political. Okay, they do not seem like risk takers. But I think they are, and that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. So I'm going to play the Creeley for you now.
Heroes. In all those stories, the hero is beyond himself into the next thing, be it those labors of Hercules or Aeneas going into death. I thought the instant of the one humanness in Virgil's plan of it was that it was, of course, human enough to die, yet to come back, as he said, hoc opus hic labor est. That was the Cumaean Sibyl speaking. This is Robert Creeley, and Virgil is dead now 2,000 years, yet Hercules and the Aeneid, yet all that industrious wisdom lives in the way the mountains and the desert are waiting for the heroes, and death also can still propose the old labors.